Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. I'm Dr. Peter Zafiridis, and this is the Healthy Mind Podcast. Here, we talk about our emotional health and well-being, about living the most authentic life we possibly can, the one we truly deserve. So take notice. Our true strength and action are on the march, while our fears and self-doubt are on the run. Never doubt how truly powerful you are. Let's learn together, right here on The Healthy Mind. Well, welcome everyone. I'm Dr. Peter Zafiridis, and this is The Healthy Mind Podcast. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to the program. I really do appreciate it. Now, you may be wondering, the last few podcasts have been every other week rather than weekly. This isn't a change in the format, I promise. It's just that right now with the class that I've been teaching, which is where these particular podcasts are coming from, in addition to that and my clinical duties and at least showing up for my family, it's been a little hard to balance everything. So once we get through this particular series, I am going back to the weekly podcast. I really miss them, but I'm trying to do the best that I can. Thank you for your patience, and I hope that you enjoy this week's podcast. For those of you that are listening for the first time, what we're doing right now is going through a series on existential therapy. What does that mean? How do issues in our lives, these existential themes, ultimate concerns, affect our behavior? What are these concerns? Isolation, feeling alone, freedom, meaning, and our mortality or death. And I'm going through each of these every week, and it's in tandem with a class that I'm teaching at Ohio State University for the psychiatry residents, and I adapted it to the podcast so that you can get a sense of what I'm teaching them and hopefully take something that is of worth to you through this podcast. So this week, we've already talked about isolation. We've already talked about freedom. This week, we're talking about the ultimate concern of meaning. What is this all about? What is the meaning of life? Why are we here in the first place? Why do we live? What are we living for? And if we know that in the end we die, then how do we make sense of anything? What's the purpose of anything? So we're going to be talking about that and how these issues of meaning can cause quite a bit of distress to anyone. It's part of the human condition, but how that can affect the individual who might be suffering with anxiety or depression. But it really goes back to understanding this as a universal human concern. If you've ever taken any time to kind of think about that, what is this all about? Why am I here? How did this all happen? You know that you can get a sense of anxiety or uncertainty, even if you are spiritual or religious, or even if you're not, but try and understand the world as it is. Really thinking about it, you can feel some of that anxiety of not being sure. And that represents part of the struggle that we have for meaning. And where I've gotten a lot of this information, very influential to me, has been the work of Dr. Irvin Yalom, who is a psychiatrist in California and really has been the father of this type of thought, at least in teaching it as a form of therapy. I'll be quoting him a lot during the podcast, as I have in the previous ones, so you can get a sense of who he is and how his work has influenced me. So this week, we're going to be talking about meaning. And what does Dr. Yalom say about this whole concept of meaning? Interesting quote to start out with here first. Listen to this. Quote, "The human being seems to require meaning. To live without meaning, goals, values, or ideals seems to provoke considerable distress." End of quotes. And I think that that is very true. Now, a very influential existential therapist, existentialist, Viktor Frankl, and you've heard me quote Dr. Frankl quite a bit, he writes that a lack of meaning creates the most existential stress or distress, almost like an existential sickness. He says, quote, "The feeling of meaninglessness is an existential despair rather than an emotional disease or a mental illness," end of quotes. And I really like how he couches this because it is important, even when we're in therapy, that we remember this as therapists, that what we're talking about here is a universal, a human concern. And just because someone may bring up these issues of meaning and purpose does not mean that we automatically have to be thinking of it in terms of an anxiety disorder or a depression, or certainly not a mental illness. There's a dilemma here in our lives because there is at one time a human need to have meaning in life. But as Dr. Yalom says, we exist in a universe that may quite possibly have no inherent meaning other than what we assign or ascribe to it. Now, that's a heavy thought, and it can be very anxiety-provoking, but take a listen to this particular passage from Dr. Yalom's book. Quote, "An existential position holds that the world is contingent. That is, everything that is could as well have been otherwise. That human beings constitute themselves, their world, and their situation within that world. That there exists no meaning, no grand design, no guidelines for living other than those the individual creates." End of quotes. Think about that for a minute. Merely bring this up because this is the foundation of understanding some of existential therapy. And this is the purpose for bringing this up. And in that, I ask you to consider that particular statement. Regardless of what you believe or don't believe, to take that in for a moment, be aware of what you're feeling. And it can feel kind of anxiety-provoking or ominous. And I think that's a normal human feeling or reaction. Certainly, we see it when people feel depressed, come in, they're suffering, they're anxious. These issues of meaning pop up all the time. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what the purpose of my life is. Why should I go to work? Why should I play with my kids? Nothing matters. We see how that can pull apart, and it exposes some of that underlying anxiety that is rooted deep in our being. When we can't find that meaning, this is where those feelings of anxiety or sadness are experienced by all of us. A person can feel annoyed or dissatisfied, or if it gets bad, helpless and hopeless. But when we are able to hold on to some meaning as a basis for living our life, there's power there. According to Yalom, quote, "One who possesses a sense of meaning experiences life as having some purpose or function to be fulfilled, some overriding goal or goals to which one can apply themselves." End of quotes. Now, we've heard these stories, right? We've seen it on TV. You've probably watched a few shows on it with regards to lottery winners who have had it all and their lives completely fall apart. They end up bankrupt or destitute or a mess, right? It seems like too many people have been affected in this way. Or celebrities who've gotten into trouble, drinking, drugs, other behaviors. We see the power of meaning here in those who apparently have it all, right? They've got all the money they need in the world, all the fame, everything is taken care of. But what's left is, then what do you do? I've got everything. I don't need to do anything. It can be relieving on some point or exciting, but then it tears into that sense of meaning and purpose. Now what do I do? And people who are vulnerable can be torn down by this or torn apart, and their lives can be destroyed. This has just happened to lottery winners and celebrities. On smaller scales, we see those issues of meaning bubbling up, and they manifest themselves in our daily lives. And if we are struggling with anxiety or depression, it can really open up those feelings of dread or despair. Now, because of the existential perspective, those in the field, particularly Viktor Frankl and Erwin Yalom, challenged some of the religious teachings and the spiritual teachings in saying that religion in and of itself isn't a panacea to the existential challenge that we all face. Again, I'm not here attacking religion. That is no place for me to do, and who am I to do that, right? I have no place to judge that. But it's important to understand where the roots of this are coming from so we can apply all of this knowledge to help people. And at least where Dr. Yalom's point of view came from with regards to this, take a listen to Yalom's view. Quote, "My approach assumes that life, including human life, has arisen from random events, that we are finite creatures, and that however much we desire it, we can count on nothing besides ourselves to protect us, to evaluate our behavior, to offer a meaningful life schema. We have no predestined fate, and each of us must decide how to live as fully, happily, and meaningfully as possible." End of quotes. The responsibility there is ours. And although we can challenge the relevance of religion and spirituality in our healing, in our emotional well-being, and that is not what I'm going to do here by any means, we still have that responsibility for our lives and the work we must do. And that is important as we move forward in empowering that in the patients that we see. Now, Yalom saw the difficulty that we face in our attempt to find meaning in the absence of comforting external structures. But he questions the idea that one's sense of spirituality, even though he may be at odds with religion, he didn't feel that a sense of spirituality had to be absent. Really, spirituality can be very, very powerful. We can use a person's belief system to help develop the overall sense of meaning. We can't have it be absolutely taboo, that it's not something that we will talk about. We pace with the individual. Let them feed back to us what is important. If you engage with another human being in therapy, and we'll talk a lot more about engagement here towards the end of the podcast, you'll find out what a person needs, and you can help them. Now, a quick blurb on agnosticism or atheism, it's going to come up. It's going to come up, and it doesn't necessarily mean the absence of a system of meaning and value at the foundation of how a person exists. And as therapists, we have to be okay with that no matter what we believe or don't. Just because someone does not believe in God or is unsure does not mean that there aren't powerful forces that develop meaning and purpose for that individual. It's going to come up routinely in therapy. You got to be ready for it. In fact, there was a discussion that I had just today with an individual, one of my favorite patients. He'd been through World War II, and he had gotten into a discussion with his family about the meaning of life and this crossroads where he's in his 80s and has been devout, but also recognizes that he has a scientific background, and that is pushing as well. And at times when those fight with each other, it makes him vulnerable to those questions of meaning. His experiences through the war, what he's been through, what he's seen, the traumas, the tribulations, It brings up those issues of meaning. And we talked about that today. Picture that, me in my 40s, talking to someone in their 80s and being asked, what is the meaning of all of this? It's a privileged moment, and we never take for granted how privileged we are to attempt to help another human being out. But here, the relationship is the healing. I certainly don't have all the answers, not even close. And how am I to have the answers for this individual? But in listening, in respecting that issue of meaning, of purpose, what is this all about? And that it is a conflict. Acknowledging that and helping walk through that with an individual. Maybe all you have to do, and you haven't necessarily provided the answer for them, but they come to it themselves. Very, very powerful. These issues will come up all the time. How do we, though, deal with this issue of meaning versus meaninglessness? I mean, that's the ultimate conflict here when we're talking about meaning. We desperately need meaning and purpose in our lives, and there's this force that's completely opposed to that that sits back there in the back of our head and says, well, maybe there's no purpose. Maybe there's nothing in this world that means anything, and that's the conflict. I need to know what this is all about, yet the other force is saying, but there may not be anything to know about why all of this is here. So how do we deal with that anxiety? Bunch of healthy ways. Self-actualization, in terms of a hierarchy of our own motives, our own goals, our own wishes for ourselves, and the way that we live in order to fulfill that potential, to fulfill those goals. That in and of itself is how we develop our own meaning. And I think that that's really important, particularly with everything I'm trying to do here on the healthy mind, because you have the power to do that. To set those goals, to put that meaning into your life and begin to feel fulfilled, begin to feel like there is a purpose. Even though you're not sure how you will get there right now, I have to emphasize that everyone is capable of doing that. Everyone. Don't ever doubt that strength within you. Another scientist, Maslow, had taken the position that actualization is a natural process. That's how we all really get through life, the basic process in the human being. And it'll take place without the aid of any social structure or convention. We set the goals, we have those inbuilt motives, and then we go and fulfill our potential, self-actualization. Another way to find meaning is altruism, serving others, participating in charity, leaving the world in a better place to live for generations to come. That can be incredibly powerful for people, particularly in the helping professions, physicians, therapists, nurses, nurse practitioners, anything in the health professions, being able to serve others and make a difference. How often have I heard that simple phrase from people who are struggling in their lives, worried, nervous, depressed, whatever it may be? I just want to make a difference. I want to matter. Part of that comes from that deep struggle with meaning and understanding, trying to find our purpose and place. Not always easy. Dedication to a cause is another way that we deal with these issues of meaning. Dedication to a family, a country, an educational or political cause, or perhaps science or work. Got to be careful here with work, though, because a lot of times people will escape into work. Overwork is a means by which people go to, sometimes in unhealthy ways, because the anxiety is too much if they're sitting still and trying to figure all of this out. So we have to be very careful there with regards to work and be careful that we're not hurting ourselves with too much. This particular quote is said so wonderfully by Dr. Yalom that it really bears saying over and over. Take a listen to this on the importance of meaning. Quote, It must, if it is to give life meaning, lift the individual out of himself and make him a cooperating part of a vaster scheme. End of quotes. How many times have we felt better when we are doing something for someone, helping our spouse, playing with our children, doing a job for a coworker, working at a cause or a purpose that gets us outside of our own head? It's therapeutic. It's therapeutic, and we're happy. It becomes part of the human condition, and it's these issues of meaning that we help to fight against by doing these healthy things. Creativity is another way, in all types of forms, whether it is artistic or scientific or whatever it may be. The way that we relate creatively in our work, in our play, in our relationships can really help to give us profound meaning. And then there's what is called the hedonistic solution, where the purpose of life is to simply live fully, to retain a person's sense of astonishment at the miracle that life is, and to search for pleasure in the deepest possible sense. People say, well, what is this all about? If there's no meaning, why do anything? And I always say, why not? Why is it that the first thing that we ask is, why do anything then? Why not do something? We're here. You're here. Why not do it? And to be able to incorporate that into who we are, to really live fully, to really take a step back, to look at the miracle all around us, and work towards searching for pleasure in our deepest sense so that we are alive, that's not a bad goal to try and pursue. So I really always challenge, and I did that today with this particular individual when he said, well, why do anything? And I said, very, very matter-of-factly, why not? We're here. Now, there can be challenges, strong challenges to our emotional health and well-being when this conflict between meaning and meaninglessness is strong. Can cause a lot of anxiety and depression, or when someone is depressed and anxious, these issues of meaning can be right at the forefront. There's a couple of terms to think about here: existential sickness and existential neurosis. Now, sickness means that there's a failure in the search for meaning in life. A person doesn't even actively involve themselves in it. Or an existential neurosis. And here, the cognitive component, the thinking component, is meaninglessness, a chronic inability to believe in the truth, importance, usefulness, or interest of value of any of the things that one is engaged in or can imagine themselves doing. Kind of a cynical way of looking at it, but it pervades the person. It takes over, and it can really detract not only from quality of life, but a person's emotional health and well-being. Listen to what Yalom says about this. Quote, contemporary neuroses are characterized not so much by repression and conversion, not by lack of insight, but a lack of sense of purpose and of meaning to life. End of quotes. And this does go back to where Yalom took issue with some of the teachings of Freud. And rather than looking at it through psychoanalytic kind of defense mechanisms, here he felt people don't have a sense of purpose, of meaning, and that can cause problems. And this isn't talked enough about in the clinical setting, in the therapy setting. I think one of the most beautiful quotes from Existential Psychotherapy, the book, is the following passage, and I think you'll understand it as I read it here. Quote, if pressed, clients acknowledge a sense of emptiness that goes along with traditionally conceived depressive symptoms. This type of empty depression reflects a deeply felt deficit in the ability to attach meaning to one's life. Faced with such an existential dilemma, it is not at all surprising that one would feel despair and hopelessness. The hallmarks of today's depression. End of quotes. Modern man's depression, meaning at the heart of it. And we see that all the time when people are not feeling well. One of the first things that are mentioned, the first feelings are this break with meaning. What is this all about? What am I doing? What is the purpose to life? And Viktor Frankl talked about this as well. And I really like the way he characterized this as the existential vacuum when it relates to meaning and meaninglessness. What's the existential vacuum? It's a state of boredom, a subjective state of boredom, of apathy, and of emptiness. The individual feels cynical, a lack of direction, and questions the point of life. And there may be plenty of free time that a person has, but there is nothing that someone feels compelled to do. What's the purpose? And he talked about this existential vacuum as kind of the weekend neuroses of modern man, where people are so busy during the week, they're structured, busy at work, get home, million things to do, and then they hit the weekend, and there are these moments, and maybe you have felt them, I know that I have at times, where you're in the weekend, and suddenly, what do I do? There's nothing that I have to do, and I'm not sure what I want to do, and I'm a bit bored, or anxious, or nervous. Okay, so then I'll just get onto the internet, right? Get on the iPad, get on the laptop, and escape into the internet. It happens. But Frankl recognized that and how that neuroses would develop over the weekend. And a lot of that had to do with meaning and meaninglessness. According to Viktor Frankl, quote, "The dilemma of modern man is that one isn't told by our instincts what we should do, or any longer by tradition what one should do, nor does somebody know what they want to do." End of quotes. And he felt two of the common behavioral reactions to this crisis of meaning are conformity, doing what others do, and submission, doing what others wish. Meaning. So where does that leave us? I mean, what do we take from all of this and try and help individuals who might come to us for therapy? And Yalom took issue with a lot of the training curriculums, the residencies, where therapists really didn't take a lot of time to develop a sense of life meaning or about the strategy by which you would be able to help patients when there might be a crisis of meaning. I think it's important for the individual to have a sense of their purpose, of a sense of meaning in their life, what fulfills them, not so that you can use that as a teaching point for others. What I believe in, what my path has been, is what you should do. Not that, but that we can recognize the process by which we've gone through that anxiety and then have moved towards a sense of fulfillment and purpose. And remember that all of that, A, exists, the anxiety is there, but it's possible to transcend that and accomplish and find meaning. But first, we have to be comfortable with understanding all of that ourselves before we help somebody else. Now, one thing we've got to make sure before we start interpreting these issues as issues of meaning, that we look at it and make sure that it isn't masquerading as death anxiety or the anxiety that comes from the awareness of freedom or isolation. So we have to take the time and work with the individuals we're privileged to treat to understand, is this really meaning or could it be one of the other ultimate concerns? Because it's important here and has an impact in the way that we do our therapy, because unlike the different approaches for the other ultimate concerns like death or freedom or isolation, the approach for addressing meaninglessness is very different, because what we must do is, with the individual, plunge into one of the many possible meanings in their lives, particularly one that is self-transcended, that allows the person to get up and out of themselves, whatever it may be. And like the whole purpose or the approach in existential therapy, engagement. Engagement is what counts. We do the most good as therapists by identifying and helping the person remove the obstacles to engagement. We can see how a person in our little microcosm of a therapy setting approaches the world. And if we can break down those barriers to engaging, to expressing their feelings, that's going to carry outwards. It's the best we can do. And it's certainly true when we're talking about issues of meaning. Yalom says, quote, "The question of meaning in life is, as the Buddha taught, not edifying. One must immerse oneself into the river of life and let the question drift away." End of quotes. Let me repeat that again, the second part of that. One must immerse oneself into the river of life and let the question drift away. That can't happen, though, unless we engage. Help a person engage. And the way we do that is in our relationship. That is first and foremost, that we care about the individual, that we will help them, that we are authentic, that we are caring and compassionate and interested genuinely in the health and well-being of this person. You may never do direct therapy. You may not be an existential therapist or even care about this. Maybe you're just interested in hearing this as an intellectual exercise and kind of understanding how you can take some of this knowledge in. But if you're a therapist, you may never use existential therapy. But it is important to understand this dilemma no matter who you are, no matter what you do, whether you are a therapist or a patient or a human being who searches for meaning. The major dilemma exists in a human being who searches for meaning and certainty in a universe that has neither. And this has huge relevance for therapy, no matter what kind of therapy that you do. It's important to keep that in mind. We also have to realize as therapists that the experience of the individual that we are trying to help is private. No matter how good the relationship is, it's going to be unknowable in many, many senses, and certainly in a total sense, it is unknowable. We're not going to know everything, but that doesn't mean that we can't help. We increase our sensitivity to all of these existential issues. We listen, and we become mindful of the importance of meaning in the lives of human beings, and certainly the one that we are privileged to treat. Take the time to wonder about the individual's belief systems, to inquire deeply into the loving of another person, how they love. Ask them about long-range hopes and goals and explore all aspects of their life, their creative interests, their pursuits, their hobbies, the things that drive them, the things that motivate them, and ultimately the things for all of us that provides meaning and a sense of being able to feel present and purposeful in our lives. We may never figure out the meaning of life, no matter how hard we try. Whether you are coming at it from a religious point of view or purely a scientific point of view or anywhere in between. But that doesn't mean that life can't be fulfilling, that it can't be beautiful, that it can't be purposeful. But we have to respect that conflict between deeply seeking meaning and then the other part of us that isn't sure if there's any meaning at all. It can create emotional symptoms. It can certainly create physical symptoms. But it's on many, many levels, if not all levels, the human struggle, the human condition. and joining with someone in therapy and engaging them and meaningfully and genuinely trying to help is not only what you must do, but it is a privilege of the highest degree. Always keep that in mind. It will serve you well. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's podcast. It was wonderful to put this together for you. The issue of meaning is really one of the most interesting and important ones to me. So it was wonderful to take the time and put this together, not only for the residents, but also here on the podcast. As I said, you can listen to this series on existential therapy in any order. It was the way that I intended to do it so that people don't feel that just because they came in on today's podcast on meaning that all of a sudden they're out in the woods not understanding what this is all about. I hope that I presented the podcast in that way for you. And if you'd like what you hear, there are other podcasts on existential therapy, which include isolation, freedom, and our mortality. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to the podcast. I sincerely appreciate it. The website is thehealthymind.com. You can listen to the podcast there. You can also listen to them on iTunes. Thank you very much for the positive ratings. And if you're listening to this podcast on iTunes and the spirit moves you, I would love it. That's a great way to help me out and everything that I'm trying to accomplish by just taking time to rate that. You don't have to leave a review. You can just rate it. But if you would do that, I would greatly, greatly appreciate it. You can follow me on Twitter. I tweet at Dr. Zafiridis, and you can email me. Keep those emails coming. I love them. The email address is peter@thehealthymind.com. That's peter@thehealthymind.com. One final note. Very soon, there will be some wonderful new changes to the sound and the feel of the podcast. The heart of it, the structure of it, is not going away. I'm not changing what I'm doing, but I think you're really going to like what you hear. I'll leave it at that. You'll know when the change happens, but it's going to be fun. And for the Healthy Mind Podcast, part of the Healthy Mind Network, I'm Dr. Peter Zafiridis. Have a great week, everybody, and I'll see you next time right here on the Healthy Mind.